Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we do come before You this day, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that, Lord, every breath we take is because You give that to us, Lord. You are the breath of life. You are first priority in our lives, Lord. So we ask, Lord, that this day that Your Holy Spirit would just have Your way, Lord, with each of us as individuals, with all of us as a church body, Lord. We bless what You're going to do here this day, Lord. Every day, Lord, is wonderful because we focus on You. So we thank You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. And we just lift up the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi there. I think I want to start this out with prayer. Our Lord Jesus, I praise You so much for this family You've given me. I praise You for hearing our prayers, no matter what the situation is. You are there. Oh, Lord, I pray that when Randall comes up to teach, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will just be upon him. Give him peace, Lord, and give us an open mind to accept and to understand his message. I pray this in the name of our most loving Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. That felt good. Yeah. Anyhows, I'm up here just to give praise to this family, this body of church, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and just to know that you come to Jesus with an open heart. He will hear your prayers, and He will answer your prayers. Yeah. It's not in our timing. It's in His. Yeah. Isaiah 55 explains it all. And I just want to thank everybody for the love and the support. Pastor Henry, his beautiful wife over there, Pastor John, wherever you are, where's that little man at? Or should I say, where's that little old man at? I'm getting you back. And his beautiful wife as well. I thank everybody for everything. And I just pray that listen to the Lord. Listen to that little small nudge that He gives you. He speaks to us all differently. The Holy Spirit is amazing. Love you all. Amen.
Good morning. I had such a blessing from the Lord this week. My car went into the shop, and they kept it all day and said, well, we're going to have to keep it overnight. And so then the next morning, about 9:30, I looked at the clock, and I said, Lord, please give the technician the knowledge to know what's wrong with my car, and could you also please have it covered under the warranty? And I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And they called me at 11 o'clock, and the guy said, you're not going to like this. And he said, you had antifreeze leak into your engine. You got a crack block. You need a whole new engine. And I said, but I have a warranty. And I said, and it's a good one. And he said, well, let me look it up. And he says, yes, you are covered. And I thank the Lord for giving me the knowledge or whatever it was to buy that warranty about 6 years ago. And also, the other thing, the timing thing about God, I'm glad he had it come now because my warranty expires in November of this year. And if you don't believe in prayer, you should, because He will answer your prayers. So.
I come with a heart of joy and praise to our King. My little grandbaby, 7 years old, that has been suffering, extremely suffering for half a year, pain in her stomach with eating, has lost weight, 40 pounds at 7 years of age. But God intervened Friday. Praise God. there was a group that prayed on Wednesday night for her. There was a group that prayed for her on Thursday night. And Friday night was the breakthrough. Yes. I had been fasting and praying because the Lord says in His Word that there are certain situations you have to fast and pray to intervene. And the Lord had directed me to do so. And I had been doing so. It was before Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we had a great attack. I had to go over to my daughter's because this was a great emergency. We thought she'd have to go to the hospital. But God intervened. And I give praise to Him. And I want to share that with my family here, because no matter what you're going through, no matter how dark the situation may be, no matter how long you've been praying, because I am an intercessor. I'm a prayer warrior. And I've been saying, why, Lord, why all this time? It's been 6 months. But, you know, as they said, there's a perfect time and place for God to show up. I mean, He's always with us because He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But when He actually moves, that's His timing. His timing. And so this morning I was in the Word, and He confirmed this to me. And I am going to read it, if that's okay. All right. All right. So He took me to Matthew. This is where the boy had a demon, and the apostles were trying to figure out why has this child not been healed? It spoke to me in volumes, because that's what I've been doing. Why, God? Why must she suffer so? Well, I know that it's for more than one reason. Her parents need to be saved, and it had to take my daughter, her mother, to accept me to give her holy oil, anointed oil for healing. She accepted it, and she accepted me putting it on her and praying over her. So this was for God working it, because they didn't want any part of Jesus. I was removed from the home because of that. They didn't want any part, but this is how far God has moved, that He worked on their heart, her heart, to allow me to pray over her with holy oil. And so I'm believing for her healing, completion. God is a God of completion. It will be completed in the name of Jesus. So I am giving Him glory this morning, and I just want to read to you Matthew 17. So the apostles, He said to them, because of your unbelief, for I truly say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will see this mountain move from here to there, and it will move. But this kind does not go out except for prayer and fasting. And also, and this is exactly what happened. It was prayer and fasting. It was seven pastors supporting me praying. Two of them are here. Four of them are here. Excuse me. Family of prayers, prayer lines, three prayer lines. And God is doing it. God is doing this mighty miracle. I give Him the glory. Because this child, she's going to be a mighty woman of God. She's going to testify what God did for her at 7 years of age. And God is going to use her. And this is my faith. And I know that all of you know that with God, all things are possible. And this is going to happen. And her parents are going to be saved. Because that's God's promise. As for me and my house, we shall be saved. They are my house. They're my children. So everyone who has family members you've been praying for whatever reason, God is faithful. God is faithful. If they need salvation, if they need healing, expect it. Expect it, because He stands on His promises. He's faithful. You just need to stand on the promises, and he is faithful, and he will show you. He will show you the way. If he wants you to fast and pray, he will direct you. And don't be fearful of it, because there's more than one way of fasting. You can devote your time with him a certain time of the day, or you can fast by food. God will direct you. All things are possible. He doesn't want you to suffer. It'll be comfortable for you, believe me. No matter what, he will do it. And not only that, but he promises about the prodigal son that will return. And he gave me that scripture also about the prodigal son. So not only did he give me scriptures about fasting and praying, he gave me the scriptures of the prodigal son. And that's why I'm declaring and decreeing that they are coming in. And so are all of your family members that you've been praying for. They are coming in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. First, I want to thank Pastor Henry for sharing his pulpit. He's a pastor, and he let me preach today. If you're here this morning, you are very special. God wants to know that you're very special. He calls you his royal priesthood. You are his kings and his priests. And I want you to know that in his eyes, you guys are already wearing your golden crown. So this morning, I want you to take your crown off your head. Take the crown off your head. And I want you to examine this golden crown, because it's full of jewelry, it's jewels, diamonds. It's beautiful. And you are royalty. He's saying that you are chosen. You didn't choose God. He chose you to be here today. And today I'm going to talk about the kingdom. And the kingdom is what the Lord brought. And there was a pastor named Miles Monroe, and he's a pastor that grew up in the Bahamas, and he grew up under a kingdom government, and he was under Great Britain. And this is his testimony. I'm going to give you his testimony. He said he was invited to preach at a convention with all these pastors, and he was in his hotel room praying before this convention. And he said this is the first time he heard an audible voice from God. And as he's praying, he heard the voice, "What are you going to preach tonight?" And he said, "The gospel of Jesus Christ." And the voice came back and says, "That's why I can't send you to the nations." And he was startled that he heard that voice. So he was praying again, and he heard the same question, "What are you going to preach tonight?" "The good news of Jesus Christ." And the voice came back, "That's why I can't send you to the nations." So now he's thinking, this is a demonic voice. So he says, "This is the enemy trying to attack me." So he's praying again, and the same question, "What are you going to preach tonight?" He says, "I'm going to preach about the life of Jesus." And he goes, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you." And the voice came back and said, "This is the Holy Spirit speaking to you." And he fell on his knees, and he got down, and he said, "I'm sorry, forgive me." And the voice said, "Jesus never preached about Jesus. The Lord never preached about himself." He goes, "Go and look and see what the Lord preached." Let's look at Matthew 4:17. After the Lord fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he came down, and this is what he said. From that time, I want you to all read with me, okay? That way you can keep me up. Okay, let's read this. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Okay, when he said repent, he said, "Now all of you, change the way you think. Change the way you think, because now the kingdom is coming to you. Religion says, get ready for heaven. The kingdom says, get ready for heaven to invade your life." Amen. So today, when you walk out of this church, your life is not going to be the same, because heaven is going to invade your life because of what you're hearing today, okay? There was a psychologist named Abraham Maslow, and he did a research of what are the priorities of man. And he said every European, every Asian, every African had the same priority. It was water, food, shelter, security, and the need to feel important. So what does man do? He gets his house. He builds it right near the lake or the river. He has the water to water his vegetables, his garden. He has the animals coming down to hunt for food. And then he builds a wall around his houses. So now he has a fort for security. And then he wants to be governor. He wants to be the mayor of that fort. Okay? But the Lord, let's see what the Lord says. Let's see on Matthew 6:33. Let's read this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So the Lord says, oh, you got all your priorities wrong. All of you down here, you've been living with the wrong priorities. You go to work 40 hours a week and you think you got to sustain yourself. And the Lord says, no, no, you're wrong. Seek my kingdom. All these things shall be added unto you. And he said up in a parable, there was a man, and he was surveying this land because he wanted to buy this field. And as he surveying this field, he saw a big treasure box. It was full of diamonds, gold, silver, jewelry. It was priceless. He looked around and he covered that treasure box back, and he ran and sold everything he had to buy that piece of land, because he knew that once he bought that land, his whole life would be complete. He would have his house. He would have all his needs met. He said there was a pearl merchant. He was in the marketplace. He saw a pearl of great price. He sold all his pearls to get that one pearl of great price. He goes, the kingdom is that pearl of great price. God wants to give us dual citizenship. When he came down here, he says, you're a citizen of the United States, but he wants to give you citizenship of heaven. That plot of land and that pearl was the price of being born again, right? So Jesus never came to bring a religion. He never came to bring denominations. He never came to make us Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran. He came to establish a government, and he came to give us his kingdom. And if we accept what he said to become part of his kingdom, he provides for all our needs. We live in America. We vote for the president of the United States. He doesn't care about your welfare. You look now, they're trying to take away your welfare. But when you're in a kingdom, the reputation of a king is based on how well his civilians are provided for. So if you're in his kingdom, God says, I will be your provider. God always wanted to be our provider. He always wanted to be our king. Even in when they went into the promised land, he wanted to be the king over Israel, but they preferred King Saul. They wanted a man. But let's see what it says here about, let's see Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Go ahead and read this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor. Prince. We read this scripture every Christmas. Every time they put the ornaments up, they read about how a son was born, a baby was born to us. But this baby brought us a government. And this government is what God is here to establish. It's not a religion. We're not coming here to play church. We're here to become citizens of a new government. And if you're going to be a citizen of this new government, you can be rest assured no inflation will touch you. We are in a different economy. When you're in the economy of heaven, everything man does can affect you. The trouble we have in this world today is God gave us dominion from the beginning over the land, over the fish, over all crawling things. But now man wants to have dominion over man. Man wants to have dominion over each other. And that's where all the problem is. There's a few people that want to control man and control this world. And that's where all the trouble is, the root of all the trouble is that heart, where he wants to control man instead of having dominion over the animals and the fish. Okay, Jesus never brought a religion. Christianity should never be a religion. It's being part of a government, okay? To be in a kingdom, you need to own land. A king has to own land to have a kingdom. Let's look at Psalms 24, 1, 2. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Let's look at Psalm 115, 5:16. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. He did not give mankind to own the earth. He let mankind be a steward of what he created. Okay, we are stewards of what the Lord has made. And the biggest thing you can say, the most fearful thing you can say is, I own it. Okay, when you say I own it, you're telling God, okay, oh God, I own this. God says, okay, you take care of it. You take care of it. I got this beautiful house, God. I own it. Okay, take care of the termites and you take the rot. You see, God, when he provides for you, he also sustains it. Let's look at Deuteronomy 29:5. Yet the Lord says, during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. Can you imagine walking around with rubber slippers for 40 years? And they didn't get in a car and drive. They walked everywhere. They walked there and they said their clothes and their slippers never wore out. You know, that's the kind of sustaining that God does in our lives. And his disciples, when they walked with the Lord, they never had need of nothing. He provided every need. He fed the 5,000. When he needed to pay his taxes, he said, okay, get that fish. The money's in that fish. That same supernatural provision is for all of us now. You know, we have it in this daily walk with the Lord. He sustains us. He says he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. We have a very rich God, you know. And the kingdom is all he preached. Getting people to realize that there's going to be a new government coming down to take place, okay? You must be a born-again Christian to have dual citizenship, right? Let's see what John 3:3 says. Here, the Lord is talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's look at John 3:5-5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. When a foreigner comes into the United States, for him to become a citizen, he has to put in an application. He has to go and put effort to become a citizen. The same way as a Christian, you cannot just say, okay, I'm going to be a Christian and say, I'm a Christian. You need to know and make sure your election is sure that you are really born again of the Spirit. Because it says the wind blows, you can't see where the wind blows, but you can see the effects of that wind. It's the same with us. When the Lord comes and touches our heart, you will know a person that's born again, right? You say, Randy, how do you be born again? How do you be born again? Let's look at Romans 10:9. It says, let's all read this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, confession is made unto salvation, for the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, I want to say a prayer with you, okay? I want you to repeat after me, right? I confess that the Lord Jesus came in the flesh, and that he sacrificed his life and he rose again. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He has redeemed me of all my sins. He has washed me clean with his blood. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I thank you, Lord. Amen. You guys are on your way to the kingdom. Okay? The kingdom is going to influence your life. The kingdom is going to invade your life. Amen. This kingdom is a kingdom operated by faith, and it's motivated by love. Okay, let's look at this scripture right here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:4. 13:4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love is very patient, you know. And God wants us to have this attitude and this mindset as believers. He wants us to walk in meekness, not puffed up. And he wants us to reveal himself to the people, not our own self, but himself to the people. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. This talks about faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. So let's look at Romans 10:17. So faith comes from here by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the Hebrew, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christos. So Christos is not the words of God, but the words of Jesus. So faith comes by hearing the words of Jesus. Because when you say God, people say, is it the Old Testament God or is it the New Testament? No, it's the words of Christ that he spoke. Jesus is the truth, the way and the life, correct? The kingdom is love and faith in action. Let's look at Proverbs 3:3. Go ahead and read this. Proverbs 16:6. Let's look at Proverbs 20:28. So God wants us to walk in love, and he wants us to have faith in him, and faith in knowing that he is your provider, that you have supernatural provision for him. And when you have that expectation, the expectation that you hold in your mind is what resonates. If you hold that thought captive of what you want, that whatever you want finds you. In this kingdom, what you hold, what thought you hold captive, it will find you. Okay? Let's look at James 1:22. This kingdom is voice activated. It's voice activated. We all know about Alexa and Echo now. We speak to it and it comes right back. The kingdom is voice activated. God created all things through speaking. Let's see what it says in John 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. In the Greek, the word doer is the word poetes. We get the word poet from. It says, do not be just a hearer of the word, but be a poet of the word. You have to be a speaker of the word. Why do we have to be a speaker of the word? Because when we speak the word, we give God legal jurisdiction to act upon his word. He says, you have not because you asked not. God says, now be a speaker. If you're going to be in the kingdom, you got to start proclaiming and speaking because you're the prophet of your own future. If you want to see something transpire in your life, you got to speak it forth in your life. And it says, let's look at the next scripture right here. James 4:2. You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. So God wants us to be decreeing his word so he can perform it in our lives. And what does he say about his word? He wants you to be fully sustained. He wants all your needs to be met. He wants you to be in perfect health. He says, all you have to do is speak that to me, and I will bring it forth in your life. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of your tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now you guys are royalty. You have your crown. You guys are kings and priests. And it says to hold every thought captive now, because what you speak will create something. It could be good or it could create bad. So God says to hold every thought captive and to see if you were to speak it, what kind of fruit is going to produce? Is it going to kill or is it going to build up? And that's the lesson that every king and priest must learn today, that the power of your word is more powerful than a 45 caliber pistol. If a gun is loaded, you never go around pointing at anyone. He goes, a tongue is more deadly than that. He says to when you speak, you can speak life, you can speak health, just by your words. God said he's going to back up your words from this day. What you speak and what you want in your life, speak what you want. God said he will back up the words that you speak. Let's look at John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It says, let the weak say they are strong. Let's look at Philippians 4:13. I want everyone here to say, I am strong. I am strong. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not your strength anymore. It's God's strength in you that will strengthen you. Let's look at 1 John 4:4. You are of a God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Living in you is the most powerful person in the whole universe. And that person in you wants the best life for you. All you have to do is say thank you. While you're saying thank you to God, you're acknowledging his promises for you and your life. I want everyone here to say, I am rich. I am rich. I am rich. Let's look at Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Okay? You are rich not because you're working or your education. You are rich because your king is rich. In a kingdom, the government is called commonwealth. The wealth is common for all the people. The reputation of a king is determined about how well you live your life. If you're living in a cardboard box under a freeway, that's a poor reflection of a king. But if God's going to have a great reputation, you're going to flourish. You're going to flourish now. God is going to raise you up so the world will see, wow, look at how these people are living. There's inflation, but these people are still buying filet mignon, you know? So God is going to show the world that you are in a different government, under a different system, under a different economy, and you are here today because he says you're special and he wants you to inherit all this. Let's look at Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God promises you that your end will be better than your beginning. If your beginning is good, your end will be better. He says that you're going to go out on top. You're going to go out smiling and enjoy before you go to meet him. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So God has his kingdom, and we're functioning in this kingdom. We have dual citizenship. We don't worry about what's happening in America because our economy is superior. It's from above. And God says in his kingdom, if you lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery. He has a different standard. If you hate your brother, you've committed murder. You've committed murder already. And God says, if you want to be blessed in my kingdom, let's read Psalms 1. Read Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight in it is in the law of the Lord. And in this law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish. From the very beginning, God always wanted to be our king, and he's going to be our king. And having a king is the best type of government that God ever created. It's better than any democracy, because when you have a benevolent king, he takes care of everyone. He makes sure that you're living prosperously, you know. And I want us all right now to stand up, and I want you to take that crown that's on your head, and I want you to throw it down. We're going to throw it upon Jesus' feet as we worship him with this song, okay? We want to thank everyone here. It's because God has brought you here. He has chosen you to hear about his kingdom. He has chosen you to hear that he is going to be your provider from this day, your healer, your protector. And he says, expect to see mighty things this week as the kingdom of heaven invades your life. God bless. God bless you all for coming.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.